My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. You know what I was realizing, Seth, as we...
What?
You didn't get into the good and bad of the weekend? Oh, I'm going to tell you.
Stop. You're building suspense.
I'm
going to
tell you. I'm going to tell you.
No, go.
I'm going to go. Oh, by the way, acknowledge me coming up in 20 minutes.
Greg, you son of a...
And I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing. I have rarely been thinking about Kyle Tucker during this recent run of Astros good baseball.
It's been a pleasant surprise how much of an afterthought he is. Like, every time I remind myself, or that somebody, you know, brings it up in the comments or on social media, I remember, oh yeah, they're doing this without, not just without Tucker, but without Verlander too.
Yep.
Now Verlander is a little dicier because he's older, he's going to get banged up, and there's going to be that constant looming fear that he might get injured again, whereas Tucker is always healthy. And this is not like this isn't some soft tissue injury or something. He got whacked in the shin with a baseball.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back. He's going to be healthy. And yeah, I think a lot of us as Astros fans almost like enjoy just being able to put him off to the side and know that, like, yeah, this is almost like a trade deadline signing. If they can play like this, if they can play like the back of their baseball cards now, and then you get another back of the baseball card coming back, that gets super exciting.
There's a lot of angles to the Tucker thing. I think one, and it's a great point, they're doing it about Verlander also. The obvious difference is Kyle Tucker was playing at an MVP level when he went out, so the concern was there, like, man, this is a big hole in the middle of your lineup. I mean, it has forced them to bat Yiner Diaz at cleanup quite a bit lately. Jake Meyers has batted cleanup during this past month of June at one point. Yeah. Like, Jake Meyers batted cleanup for this team that had the best record in the month of June. It wasn't multiple times. It may have been multiple times, but very little. But they've had to cobble this thing together over the course of June without the guy who'd been their best player through the first couple months of the season. I think it's also, too, Seth, hard not to think, like, okay, he went out on June 3rd. That was at St. Louis, that Monday game you and I were at. He went out on that game. So they basically played the entire month of June without Kyle Tucker. I'm not saying they're a better team without Kyle Tucker. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is it is tough. It was tough for me, at least, not to peep ahead in the future and go, okay, yeah, this may be what it looks like after 2025. For this team, where Jose Altuve is going to be here forever, Yordan Alvarez is going to be here forever, and then you're cobbling things together around them with guys that are young guys or some vets or ascending guys or whatever. My brain, I can't live in the moment with a lot of this stuff, that I get thinking about contracts and the future and free agency. If they announce,
you are, whenever I try to have a meditation session with you and bring you in and put you in the lotus position, you're constantly like 30 seconds into it, like, I'm thinking about Tucker.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
about contracts. If there was a tweet tomorrow they signed Kyle Tucker to an 8 to 10 year deal for $300 million or whatever, I'd be cool with that. I think Kyle Tucker is the guy you break the rules for if you're the Astros. That said, it was kind of fun watching this. It was fun watching extra innings yesterday when the guys who got the RBIs in extra innings yesterday for the Astros. It's six runs driven in extra innings. Chaz McCormick, Jake Meyers, Joey Loperfido, Trey Cabbage.
Right.
Four outfielders that you weren't even really talking about a month and a half ago. You know?
If you were to manage, like, if we were going to look for where the heart rate spike is when you mention those names, I think if other Astros fans are anything like me, I am gaga for Loperfido.
Yeah.
Man, I go old school baseball scout with Loperfido. I'm just like, look at that kid. Okay, he's got the right, he's got the good face. He just, this kid's all right. And he got a miserable stolen base attempt in the top of the ninth. But other than that, he was a hero. He was a hero there in extra innings. I think that a lot of it, if we're going to do that and start thinking out way too far ahead, the question has always been these last few years is, okay, how exactly are they going to extend and follow up on the Jeff Luhnow era? Because in baseball, the GM's decisions echo for years afterwards. So we've still been, you know, we've still been reaping the benefits of a lot of things that Jeff Luhnow did. I think immediately right now, the reasons for optimism are that A, I think your pitching coaching is really, I think they're standing on their own 2 feet now. And now that Brent Strom has been gone for several years and they've still been able to take some of these younger guys or lesser thought of prospects and get some really good stuff out of them. You look at Dana Brown and his first draft already looks spectacularly good with the way four of those guys have been elevated to AA already. And I think that there's a lot of reason for optimism that whatever edge they had on the scouting side of things forever, it feels like they still might have that edge. Mm-hmm. It still feels like they might see value in guys like Ronel Blanco, and that's not as much, you know, and that's acquired by Luhnow, but still, it's that they're going to be able to get more with less, or at least what other people perceive of as less.
Yeah, man. Look at the bullpen. I mean, look at the middle relief on this team. Forget about the back end, which has been better. Seth Martinez, yesterday notwithstanding, has turned into a reliable innings eater in the middle, you know, innings eater. Like, you know, he's a multi-inning guy when you need him to eat some innings. Taylor Scott's been amazing this year.
Right.
And he did it again last night. You know, he did it again yesterday. Like, Taylor Scott has been a find for this team. Even Hunter King, Hunter King has come up and given them some decent innings.
I get excited when I see King there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and Sean Dubin is another guy who is the consummate late bloomer. He was a late bloomer that, you know, I think that the Astros have an ability to reinvent guys. We see that all the way going back to Charlie Morton and Garrett Cole. But on a smaller stage, though, they do it with a lot of guys where you just flat out get more out of these guys than you would have expected several years ago.
Yep, no doubt. So the good and the bad with the Astros this week, and we'll talk about Dubin a little bit more. He's going to get acknowledged here, spoiler alert, in about 12 minutes. I like the fact, Seth, that over these last couple games, the Astros did a ton of their damage in the late innings. Saturday, they've not come back. I think the biggest deficit they'd come back from this season was a 3-run deficit, and that looked like one of those games, man, early on. Like, okay, well, this is Fromber doesn't have it. The bats don't have it. This is a game that in April and May they were rolling over and playing dead in. Like, all right, well, they're just, you know, they're going to leave 11 guys on base today, and they're going to lose 6-2, and this is just how it is. And now they're going to lose a game in the standings to the Mariners, and we're going to tread water. And instead, they chipped away. They made it 6-4, and then in the late innings, great to see Bregman come up with that big hit. Great to see them put some distance there after that and tack another couple runs on. And so now, you know, you bring in Josh Hader and you're breathing a little bit easier. But they piled on 5 in the 8th and the 9th on Saturday and 6 in extra innings yesterday.
Well, and I think sort of what you started to see in June, too, and I'm not making this about Abreu, but I think Abreu is a really good illustration of how the Astros were not their same selves in the first part of the season. As a team, their judgment at the plate just wasn't as precise and obvious, and they were allowing pitchers to have good performances and go deeper into games. They were grounding out a lot. Their judgment at the plate just wasn't the same. Abreu was one of the worst, you know, because Abreu would get up there and be out in 3 or 4 swings every single damn time, it felt like. That was the extreme example, but it was going on with a lot of their even better batters, where now they just like they've looked in the field. You know, they were sloppy in the field the first couple months of the season. They got back on track. They just look like a more professional baseball team at the plate now, too.
Yeah. I guess, because we have a text message asking, can you guys discuss the differences, the difference the team has been since they got rid of Jose Abreu? I think the easiest way to put it is that we're never going to have another lineup with the Astros like in 2019, where it felt like guys 1 through 7, you know, could all make the All-Star team. And then even guys 8 and 9, even the catcher position, you know, be pre-Maldonado. Like, you know, you felt like for a catcher, you know, at least they're batting in the low 200 somewhere. The baton was always going to get passed. It may not be where you're going to score 8 runs or 9 runs on the regular or anything like that, but you feel like at least there's a chance guy could work a walk, or a guy's going to move a runner over, and the baton's going to get moved. With Jose Abreu, there was no moving of the baton. It was like, okay, this guy's going to get out, and we just have to work around it. Imagine, if you will, Seth, that if there was a rule where only one team in baseball had to make the pitcher hit in games, and every other team got to use a DH. Imagine that team. Imagine being the team where your pitcher had to hit every game and every other team got to use a DH. That was the Astros with Jose Abreu in the lineup this season. It was worse, actually. I mean, his OPS was worse than a lot of pitchers. It was in the mid-300s. So that's probably the easiest way for me to, like, articulate it to where you go, oh, my God, that's right. This guy was that bad. Now not only do you have a lineup where, hey, they're not all stars or anything like that. They're not all even good hitters, but they're at least professional hitters where you feel like they're going to work a walk. You feel like they're going to make contact. They're going to make something – they're going to make something happen. Oh, by the way, whoever it is can play defense. And oh, by the way, you can rejigger the lineup. Can you imagine trying to rejigger the lineup yesterday when Altuve got ejected if Jose Abreu was playing first base?
Right, yeah.
Because you were able to move guys around, you know?
Well, because even John Singleton, I mean, like, John Singleton gives you competitive at-bats.
Right.
You know, John, he's had really good judgment. and he's just – he's not what you want. You know, is a, would I prefer Vlad Guerrero Jr. out there every night? Sure. Even though Vlad Guerrero Jr. – so we're getting a lot of questions on the YouTube chat about Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
He's not having a great year. But like he's more of a solid first baseman. And defensively, he's really good too.
He's good.
So yeah. But regardless of all that, it's just John Singleton is a night and day difference in terms of competitive at bats compared to Jose Abreu.
He had 3 hits yesterday and a home run. I mean, like I'd have to go back and look at Jose Abreu's game log to see if he ever had 3 hits in a game as an Astro. You know, so you're absolutely right. So that's the good. You know, I think there's other good. We mentioned the outfielders all chipping in extra innings and late in games yesterday and on Saturday. Yainer Diaz really seems to be getting his legs under him again, and he's been hitting really well. He's been nice in that cleanup spot behind Yordan. They've not really been respecting Yainer very much. They've been pitching around Yordan a lot, and he's making him pay, so that's been good to see. As far as the bad from the weekend, we're going to get into Acknowledge Me here in just in about 6 or 7 minutes. The two big brain farts on the weekend, I don't like seeing those. I mean, they both came in wins, so it didn't hurt. But Fromber, early in that game where there was first and third, nobody out, and there's a nubber in front of home plate, and clearly you're not going to make the play at any of these bases. Clearly the only play at that point might have been just pick the thing up and throw it to first base and lift it. You're not going to get your shutout today, Fromber. Sorry.
Right.
But he glove scoops it over the catcher's head. And it just keeps the inning alive, and like a lot of things with Fromber, it exacerbates.
It snowballs.
Yeah, exponentially.
He goes and he throws the ball to Altuve at second base instead of Pena, who was covering second base.
Yeah,
like it was the bad Fromber. Fromber showed up.
Yeah.
We've just seen more instances of bad Fromber showing up since the pitch clock was instituted.
Yeah, now
I'll blame the pitch clock for Fromber's regression in some respects, but I don't get too worked up about the pitch clock in general. But for Fromber, I feel like it's been a net negative.
Framber's probably still the one guy who's capable on this. Like, if I had to pick one guy, and I'll even include Hunter Brown in this just because it's only been 7 starts for Hunter Brown. Like, on this staff, if I need someone to throw a gem, like 8 innings, 2 hits, 9 strikeouts, you got to pick somebody to do it. I'd probably still pick Fromber, but man, he's just, it feels like once every 4 outings this year, it's just, I mean, he's got an ERA of over 4 for a reason, you know?
If I had to pick any of the pitchers, including anybody in the minor league system, to defuse a bomb while, like, receiving instructions from somebody, Fromber would be the one where, like, I could just see him be like, should I clip the red wire or the blue wire? And somebody says, clip the red wire. And then Fromber picks up a hammer and smashes it instead. he's just going to do something completely out of left field that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, and the everyday player answer to that is Altuve on the base paths. And yesterday just it looked really bad in the moment where he was off with the pit. He was running. You know, he's trying to steal.
Yeah.
And I forget who the hitter was at the time. It might have been Bregman. Hits a fly ball to the outfield. And Altuve doesn't even, like, he's not even on the screen trying to get back to first base. Now, he explained it after the game where he said he got deked at second base. Like, the shortstop and the second baseman acted like it was a ground ball.
Yeah.
And it was really a fly ball, and they got him. You know, they deked him, and he didn't even bother running back to first, and he got caught off.
Does Altuve realize that at this stage in his career, he's going to be a guy that guys are going to attempt to deke?
Yeah.
Now, Altuve making horrible base running decisions is correlated with the Astros making it to the ALCS.
Okay.
So I looked at that yesterday as, egregious base running error by Altuve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, he's been in the... I went back through and looked during the rain delay. He's been in the top 33 of outs on base every year except the COVID year since the Astros started going to the ALCS.
Because he was hardly on base that year. He only hit 219.
2022, he led the league. And they just went and simply won a World Series.
Right.
So there you go.
So we should be rooting for these brain farts.
We
on
should
the base
be. Yeah. Because I don't know if he's on. You know what? I went back through every other year, but I didn't check 2024 to see how he's doing this year and if he's in the top 33.
I'm going to guess not.
He's been in the top 5 plenty of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 33 was the low water mark.
Lowest
in non-COVID years.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the brain farts were not great. It didn't cost them. They won both games. I would say Joe Espada is about to get acknowledged in a positive way. in Acknowledge Me, spoiler alert, but as long as we're talking about the bad from the weekend, Espada had some strange chess moves, if indeed these were his decision. Now, this one on Saturday, I think, had to be his decision, but top of the ninth on Saturday, it's still a close game. I think they're up 7-6 at that point, and he had Pena sacrifice bunt Myers and Diaz over to second and third with nobody out, so now it's one out, second and third. For Chaz, he's taking the bat out of Pena's hands. Pena's been hitting the ball better lately to bring Chaz up with one out, second and third. And by the way, Chaz had just struck out on three pitches his previous at bat. He struck out on three pitches in that at bat. So that one was a curious move to me in a close game late to take the bat out of Pena's hands and have him sacrifice. I understand the strategy on paper if you just take the names out of it. Hey, we're going from first and second, nobody out, to second and third, one out. So if our hitter just makes contact to the outfield or a ground ball to the opposite side, then we probably bring a run home. But the hitter coming up was Chaz, who's been bad for most of the year and looked completely overwhelmed in his previous at-bat.
Old school, the lefty, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it made no sense to me. And then in the 10th inning yesterday, Chaz got caught stealing to make it two outs with Yordan in the on-deck circle. And to me, in a close game or an extra innings game, like unless it's Ricky Henderson on first base that you're sending to steal, or Pena or Myers or somebody who's actually fast, I don't think you do anything where the downside is Yordan might not get up that inning. You know, like that to me, that's less egregious. But that one to me, I didn't like that decision. So those are just
I don't mind the steal. That's just aggressive, and with a guy that's very capable of stealing second in that situation. Because by the flip token is, yeah, when Yordan comes up, you've got a guy in scoring position, and there you go.
Yeah,
I don't want to. If you had asked. So, like, I think in this one, if you had asked me before he attempted the steal, whether it's a good move or not, I'd say, yeah, go for it. You're being aggressive in that instance with the thought that, okay, you got Yordan coming up, and and not to mention Dubon. I feel comfortable enough that Dubon can advance the run.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
There's there too.
Yeah, maybe I was feeling it a little bit acutely because I needed Jordan to get an extra base hit to win my Prize Picks play. And that took, that basically took him out of the mix. He wasn't going to bat in that inning. That's probably how I was feeling it a little more acutely. I still don't agree with it, though. All right, so some of the other bad, Rafael Montero, he's bad lately. If you're Rafael Montero and the Astros throw seven pitchers out there in a bullpen game and you're not one of them, how are you feeling right now if you're Rafael Montero?
No kidding. I think, they loaded up for this reliever day. Abreu, who's pitched more than any other reliever in the league, hadn't pitched in eight games. And it didn't end up working out for the Astros' benefit with Abreu. But I understand the thinking and the rationale. Sean Dubin hadn't pitched since 5 days prior. It was all lining up that it was going to be a reliever day. So I guess my stress level over how much they had to use the relievers yesterday isn't, I'm not as stressed out about it because they planned for it and they got plenty of rest ahead of this series.
If it was Eric Geddy on the mound today, I'd be more nervous than if it was Hunter Brown. You know, Hunter Brown's given you six innings literally every time out for the last month and a half. Yeah. Whereas Eric Geddy had a good outing against the Rockies, but you can pencil him in for three or four innings. So they've got a guy who at least feels going to eat up some innings today. You know, get you the back end. Montero probably have to pitch today. And then Hader didn't pitch yesterday, so he can get you the ninth. So there you go. Good and the bad from the weekend.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get to acknowledge me. We got a bunch of them to get here to today, man, and it's very Astros heavy as well. But we acknowledge performances from over the weekend, from over the recent past. We mention their name. We play Roman Reigns saying,
acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me, and we acknowledge them for their performance. By the way, go back. If you're a wrestling fan and you missed SmackDown on Friday, go back and watch the acknowledgement ceremony on Friday. That was a good piece of business. Joe Espada.
Acknowledge me.
I was out on Joe Espada a month ago, Seth, because he was saying silly, stupid things about Jose Abreu, and it frustrated me, and it didn't help that the Astros weren't winning baseball games. So the man who was out on Espada, me, has to give him credit and acknowledge. In a month where the Astros had two starters undergo Tommy John surgery, two guys they had penciled in at the beginning of the year, by the way. This wasn't like J.P. France Tommy John, you know, where he's a fringe guy. Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier have been a big part of the Astros rotation for the last three or four years. Their ace goes on the IL. Who knows when Verlander's coming back at this point. They lose Kyle Tucker, as we just talked about in the previous segment. He's been gone all month. I think you got to give Joe Espada credit. The Astros go 17-8. The manager deserves credit for that in June.
I think that, no, and especially in baseball, so much of being a good manager is sometimes just understanding the length of the season and letting things play out. It was just really hard as an Astros fan to have part of that be letting Abreu play out. And it wasn't his fault, but he's the guy that's up there talking twice a day. Espada is. And it's hard not to let that filter over into it. I do think, and I wonder just, you know, there's no way to ever prove this or document it or anything, but there's a little bit of a lame duck feel to a manager that obviously isn't in control of the situation with Jose Abreu. And you wonder how much that filters into the clubhouse, whether they even realize it or are conscious of it or not. That you've got a manager whose hands are tied with this glaring issue on your baseball team. And it's hard to look at that guy as the guy that's actually in control. It has felt much more, ever since Jose Abreu left, it's felt much more like this is Espada and Dana Brown's team than it did at all before that. It felt like those guys were operating with a governor.
Yep, for sure. Let's acknowledge, okay, this is a name people may not be familiar with. I was not until Friday with Chaz McCormick doing an interview on MLB TV. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Haziel Wesson.
Acknowledge me.
They call him Wes. He's the strength coach, one of the strength coaches for the Astros. Chaz McCormick talked about this on Friday, that after that horrible loss to the White Sox about a week and a half ago, where they hit rock bottom, they were 10 games back of the Mariners, they got a pep talk from their strength coach.
Try to give me a non-cliche answer on what is different about Houston in the last week and change.
Man, I'll tell you what. Obviously, you know, in the beginning of the year, it was tough. We played a lot of good teams, and we lost a lot of tough games. Obviously, it's baseball, and eventually it turns itself around. I think we just got our confidence back. I mean, obviously, like, we've been banged up. We lost Verlander. Obviously, we lost Javier. We lost Urquidy. But we don't have Tucker in the lineup. But honestly, I want to say about a week ago or a week and a half ago, we lost the Chicago White Sox first game of the series. Our strength coach, Wes, pulled us over as a position player meeting and kind of just talked about, he's been with us a while in the organization. He just talked about, you know, how good we are, how good of a team we are. And obviously we've been struggling, but, you know, he said he's seen us do some crazy things on this baseball field, you know, and basically just giving us confidence. And obviously we haven't been playing that well, but he just made sure to keep giving us a heads up that we're a good team, we're good players. He's seen us do so many good things on this baseball field. And ever since he had that meeting with us, we've won 7 in a row. We've started to hit the ball really well. And it's cool to look back at that, because sometimes you need that. You get, you know, when you start losing the big leagues, you kind of get lost in that, you know, the reminder of how good we are as a team and us as players. And it was cool to have it from our strength coach. And man, I'll tell you what, just with the injuries we've had and how good we've been playing still, I mean, just wait till we get Verlander and Tucker back, and then Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers are on their way back. Yeah, so I think we're starting to hit our stride.
Yeah, man. Those are all the trade deadline pickups. So Haziel Wesson is
Haziel. According to YouTube, it's pronounced Haziel.
What Seth just said,
yeah,
is the new Michael Brantley. Remember when Brantley gave the big speech before Game 4 of the World Series that time? Mm-hmm. And what happened? They didn't lose a single game after that in the World Series.
They did go out and not produce at the plate that game, but they won it.
No hitter in that game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was he gave a speech to the batters, and the pitchers responded. They were probably like, "Well, we're not gonna let the batters show us up here."
Whatever.
So I think Haziel's been with the Astros since 2022.
Okay.
So good job. We acknowledge Haziel.
We do. Yep.
He was born in the Dominican Republic, but he went to college in America. I don't know how long, but he's I was reading Haziel Wesson's bio, and it occurred to me, like, how far Major League Baseball teams have come since back in the day when there started to be a lot more Spanish speaking players, but nobody on the coaching staff or anything else, like, nobody spoke Spanish in the organization. Yeah. And managers would be up, like, giving speeches to guys that didn't have a clue what they were saying. Yeah. With nobody to translate to them or anything. You know, Haziel is bilingual. He's fluent in Spanish.
Okay, good.
has a good pulse on what these guys have done since 2022.
Excellent. So we acknowledge him. He gave the big speech. They're 9-1 since then. Couple more Astros here. Ryan Presley.
Acknowledge me!
Got a lot of heat a few weeks ago because he coughed up a lead to the Angels. He had blown a bunch of saves. He's been outstanding, and it's not even one of those things where the video doesn't match the stats. Like, he's looked really good in the box score, and he's looked really good on television. 7 2/3 innings in his last 8 appearances. Has not given up a run. Has only given up 3 hits. He's only walked one batter, most importantly, I think, there. And he's had 6 strikeouts. Ryan Presley seems to have adapted and adjusted to his role as setup guy, finally.
Yeah, I'm guilty of thinking that it wasn't going to be a big deal. Like, all right, whatever, you're a reliever, go out there. But obviously the psychology is a lot different there. And it might be as simple as that. It just took him a while to get comfortable in that role. Josh Hader, my God, like... I forgot how atrocious he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, his ERA is still above 4, I believe.
It is.
But he's been pitching much, much, much better than that. It's just he dug himself such a deep hole by being so bad early on. That's another one where Espada can't be blamed for that, and yet he was the one having to answer for the fact that the out of the gate those first few weeks of the season, the pitching was so bad.
That's truly one where Espada, like, what's he supposed to do? Like, they paid they paid $95 million to this guy to be the closer. What's he supposed to do? Not pitch Josh Hader?
Bench him after a few bad performances.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Sean Dubin, we got to acknowledge Sean Dubin. 3 1/3 innings pitched yesterday. A career high by far pitches thrown in a game. He threw 55 pitches. His previous high had been 35 pitches in a game. And I think Espada ejected on him just in time, Seth. He tried to get a little greedy and squeeze another inning out of him. Maybe he's just trying to squeeze another hitter out of him because it's a bullpen day and you try to get as many outs as you can from each reliever. But Sean Dubin made me comfortable with the idea of having to do a bullpen game every 5 days if we need to, you know, until Verlander or Bloss or whoever else comes back from their injuries here.
Yeah, and what was the score at the time they pulled him?
He shut them out. I think it was 3-0 at the time.
3-0 at that point. I guess with a healthy enough margin there that you can push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah.
If it had been 1-0 at that point, I don't think he would have brought him back out, perhaps. But I can appreciate what Espada was thinking there.
Yeah, the score at the time was 3-0. Yep. Yeah. They had just scored 2 runs in the top of the 4th the Astros had. So, yeah, 3-0 at the time. Quick acknowledgement of Vanessa Richardson and Mike Stanton.
Acknowledge
your broadcast crew for Space City Home Network. They had a noon pregame. They didn't leave that sucker until 7:45 last night because of the rain delay. Like the players, a lot of sitting around during a rain delay.
A lot of sitting around, but I don't necessarily have. I like Vanessa a lot, but was the working environment awful or something?
Let me ask you.
You sit around, you chat about baseball, you look at your phone.
If 9:55 rolled around and you found out all of a sudden that you had to sit around for 3 hours around here and then wait to do another 45 minutes with me on the radio late afternoon one day, how would you feel about that?
I'd be like, oh, I got my online courses that I'm working on. I've got articles. I need to catch up on my Brian McTaggart articles. I'd be like, okay, cool. I'd be okay with it.
It's a long day. I'm acknowledging you, Vanessa and Mike. Okay.
I don't mean to pull a. I acknowledge Vanessa for other reasons.
Okay.
I saw the text exchange between you two.
Yeah.
She seemed to be okay with it. You're the one that was flipping out on her behalf. You're the one that was like trying to tell her she should be miserable.
I did. I said, talk to the union. You need to talk to your union head. Yeah.
Yeah. You're an agitator, is what you are. Oh, no, she did say, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm looking at the text exchange.
She wasn't happy with it. So not at the network or anything, just that, you know, like of the, you're thinking you're getting off of work at 3:30 and now you're getting off of work at 7:30.
Yeah, she used the words mad in all caps, irritated, perturbed in all caps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So there you go. Simone Biles,
acknowledge me,
makes a third Olympics pretty easily, too. We acknowledge Houston legend Simone Biles, gymnastics superstar, third trip to the sport's biggest stage, posting a 2-day all-around total of 117.225. That sounds like a lot of points to me. She got the lone automatic bid on the five-woman team. We always acknowledge Simone Biles. She's amazing. Big Texan fan. We hope still, even though Jonathan Owens doesn't play for the Texans anymore.
She is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier about how, like, in women's gymnastics, the preeminent gymnasts are they're getting older and older, and it's not like they're super old. The average age of a medal winner in the 2020 Olympics was 20.6 years, which is the highest in more than five decades. And Simone Biles, like, definitely amps up that average a little bit. But part of it, and I'll credit Simone Biles for this, for speaking out when she did with the Michigan State doctor and everything else, that I guess conditions have just improved a lot to the point where it used to be just like those old cliche, these poor kids were just being worked 12 hours a day trying to become gymnasts and they just burnt out. It's a better environment now. Some more women are just choosing to compete longer too.
Yep.
So Simone Biles obviously is a big leader on that front.
No doubt. So we acknowledge her. CJ Stroud.
Acknowledge me.
We'll be doing a lot of that during the football season, I think. CJ Seth apparently had all the fellas in Miami training this weekend. So at a time on the calendar where Aaron Rodgers is probably in a dark retreat somewhere, you know, who knows? You got a bunch of quarterbacks that aren't really probably doing much because they're trying to get new contracts. You know, they're going to agitate for their new contracts. CJ Stroud, he looked like he had all the fellas down there too. He had a cast of thousands. This wasn't just a Tank, CJ, and Stefan show and Mechie. Like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at Cade Stover, Stefan Diggs, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Somebody's got his hand over his face so I can't see. Some white bro with his back turned to the camera. But, yeah, a lot of Texans there.
Good job.
Did you see Tank Dell post the video of Stefan Diggs falling off the
Pilates machine? Sled. Yes. I got nervous.
I know. He went hard. He did. Went down hard.
He did. You know what I like about that, though? Like, that shows that they've bonded. You know what I mean?
That's
like
true.
The Tank can break balls like that, you know, and post that video. Stefan doesn't.
Maybe Stefan did. I didn't see if Tank Dell just quote tweeted or something, but they seem to be having a good time.
They do.
Running routes and doing Pilates in South Beach.
Yep. I'm going to acknowledge the New Orleans Times. The New Orleans Times Picayune, their newspaper.
Acknowledge me.
For a pretty nice little Easter egg in their headline. We all at this point have probably heard about Hawktua girl, right?
Hawktua.
Yeah, okay. I mean, she was a man on the street or woman on the street interview a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago in Nashville, where she talked about
Hawktua
as sort of a method of things. You know, if you know. The New Orleans Times Picayune. After the Pelicans, I'm trying to see who they picked up here in this little dealio. They picked up somebody from the Hawks and they made him a Pelican. And the headline reads, "From a Hawk to a Pelican." You know, from
There's
a Hawk to
Hawk to it.
From a Hawk to a Pelican. Yeah. A good little pun right there. I didn't see who this was.
DeJounte Murray, right?
Oh, it was DeJounte Murray. Yeah. They traded for DeJounte Murray. That's right. From a Hawk to a Pelican.
Hawktua.
Yeah. Did you see? She's had quite the run here, Hawktua girl. Her name's Haley Welch, I learned. She is daughter of a
pastor of a mega church in New Jersey.
I don't
know
that was true. I think
that was false.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that wound up being one of those things that people ran with, people like me. So I don't think that's true. It is true that her name is Haley Welch. It is true that she has sold nearly $70,000 worth of Hawktua merch. And it is also true, because I saw the video, that she was on stage for a Zach Bryan show on Saturday night. So
did she put a trademark on that phrase? I wonder if she's got the advice. I wonder if anybody has advised her to do that.
She should.
Yeah.
She should.
Because she could go back and get some stuff in arrears, too, for this last week.
Yes.
She's got a pretty funny personality.
Yeah.
I think she might actually make a living for herself as some kind of social media personality.
Maybe.
She's self-deprecating. Like, in the long, I watched the long-form video where she was doing that interview, and she was like, she was twirling around like, "Look at my flat ass."
Yeah.
She's pretty funny.
She's very funny.
Yeah, I see a lot of people defending her against what hate. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it seems like people just think she's pretty funny.
Yeah, and she doesn't seem fazed by it. If there's hate, she doesn't seem to be fazed by it. She walked right out on that Zach Bryan stage on Saturday. Walked right up to that microphone and into the microphone.
On the microphone?
On the microphone, yeah. Not COVID friendly, but who cares? Yeah.
The one thing I feel bad for that young lady is that, for the most part, like in her personal interactions moving forward in life, it's kind of a standard of like, yeah. Pete Davidson's talked about this because when Ariana Grande said something kind of complimentary about his anatomy, which he says is false. So for the rest of his life, he's going to be constantly disappointing women who might be anticipating what Ariana Grande. That was five-dimensional chess by Ariana Grande there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like paid a compliment that's actually going to be a curse that the poor Pete Davidson has to not pay off on for the rest of his life.
That's right. That's right. All right. That was Acknowledge Me. A lot of acknowledgement going on today. Hey, today is a big day up in Austin, and we knew it from some things happening over the weekend. We heard a little bit more from Austin, from UT's new baseball coach. This was very interesting. Are Aggies getting angry with the wrong person here? We will get to that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.